Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Hey! How's it going? Welcome to the Gridiron Show. We're doing this on a Tuesday, but I'm kind of glad we did because I still feel like I haven't slept from the weekend yet. I'm Will Gavin. Alongside me, Ollie Hunter, and not making his debut on our edition of the show this year. And plus, he does loads of other shows. He probably does more than we do. Definitely does more than we do. It's from NFL Ireland and our main man for all of dirt socials and dirt technology and dirt Irishness, Michael McQuaid. How are you?
How's
was that
going,
acceptable?
Lads?
Did I go too far?
I think it was perfect. It was nicer than Twitter yesterday. Anyway, I'll give you that. I'm joking. No, here. Great to see you lads again. Great weekend. And I plus one to what Mr. Gavin said. I'm wrecked. I think we all are after that weekend.
I mean, I feel like, I know people come here for the football, but I feel like we should tell Michael McQuaid's story, because Mike came out with us on Thursday, having flown into London, and we talked.
That
we
feels so one long off. Ago.
Yeah, that's well under a week ago.
Yeah.
We absolutely tore one off. Bunch of grapes, London Bridge, decent Guinness, right? By the way, I went for a pint of the Horseshoe today. Still a better pint of Guinness than Bunch of Grapes. Sorry, Ollie, you're wrong. The Bunch of Grapes, tore one off in there. Stayed out with us, met us the next morning at Packers practice, admittedly got the wrong train to Packers practice, but met us there anyway. Then got a taxi straight to Luton Airport, flew back to Ireland. Did you fly back to Belfast and then fly back out of Dublin, right?
Flew back to Belfast, got to Belfast at 9:30. Or no, 9.
9 p.m., next day brother's wedding, left brother's wedding, went straight to the airport, came back for the Packers game. Unreal. Remind us of those timings. The wedding finished like midnight and you had a flight at like 4 a.m. or something.
Yeah, so the wedding was going on to 1 a.m., but I bounced at 20 to 12. I was quite close to home. Got home, got a bag, left the house. Obviously got a shower as well. Left the house 20 past 12, was down in Dublin at 20 to 2. Slept in the car until 4:45. Fast track, Stansted, Tottenham, and then 10 o'clock that night back, listened to Will Gavin on the radio on Sunday nights, delirious listening to golf coverage and NFL coverage, but I wouldn't change it for the world. It was great crack.
You were bubbling along nicely on Sunday, I have to say, considering that I was feeling like a train wreck from hitting the toucan on Saturday night, and yeah, wow.
Yeah, I think all of us were feeling a little bit worse for wear, but when NFL's in town, these are the things you've got to do. You've got friends come into town. You've got colleagues come into town who've now turned into friends. Yes, they have, Michael McQuaid. But that's what you've got to do. You've got to go out and sample everything. And, the toucan was great. But then the game the next day, I said it would be the most NFL-sounding stadium that we've ever had. Is it 32? International games
32nd
in London.
International game, the 32nd team
exactly.
Coming out.
Wonderful synergy. And I think it's not gone full circle. It's probably gone 180 from that very first game where you didn't have, you had people, and we heard it in the Packers practice, some of the questions to Matt LaFleur were, will people know when to make noise and when not to make noise? Well, I think if anyone was there at the game or happened to be watching it on ITV, they would have heard that every single down that the New York Giants had, it was loud. It reminded me a bit of, I know not quite as loud, but a bit of CenturyLink. When you go to CenturyLink it's no longer CenturyLink, but up in Seattle, when you go to that game, they make noise on the away teams every single down. And to be fair, and fair to the Giants fans and the Bears fans that were probably in the stadium as well, they were making noise on Packers third downs and fourth downs. So, look, it was a great atmosphere, a real game of two halves. I got a little You know, little, what are these called?
It was unreal.
We renamed that the Rogers.
The Rogers. I mean, you've been doing that a little bit recently, and I have been wondering where it's come from.
I can't
remember. But now it can never leave your lexicon again, because we went down to the tunnel. We were moving between our broadcast position, where we were doing the game for TalkSport, and over at a sponsor's box, as you do, going and schmoozing. It's work. Yeah, it's definitely work.
Yeah.
And so we timed it so we could see the Packers do their walk from the locker room to the field. And yeah, Ollie just threw up a Aaron Rodgers as he went by, and he got one back. It's on my Twitter, at Will Gav. I'm sure we retweeted it from Gridiron, at Gridiron on Twitter.
And for those listening to the podcast, it's a thumb and a little finger. And it was a really weird, surreal moment, but that was probably the highlight of my day.
Life.
That moment, though, like seconds after, and I said this yesterday, I've never heard a bigger pop when Rogers ran out.
Came out, yeah.
Wow,
unreal. And by the best moment of your life, when you send me that, because Ollie also likes to use that as an emoji as well. My car has like a talk to speak text thing that it does. And so when he's texting me on the car and I like listen to his message, it just goes, call me hand emoji. So apparently that's what that is. A call me hand. Because it's like a phone. There you go. That's how to describe it to people.
Yeah.
Anyway, we've rambled as we always do. The atmosphere was unreal.
Yeah.
At Tottenham on Sunday. And not just at the game, but beforehand, all the way up the Tottenham High Road, the reactions of all of the fans that were there, just the general atmosphere. It had a proper tailgate atmosphere around the outside of the stadium, despite not having the usual cars parked up and grills on the go and everything else. And then the game of football delivered. We had two great games of football over 2 weeks. And we also had a great primetime game on Monday we need to talk about. So finally, it feels like the season is starting to warm up and kick into gear a little bit. Finally, there's still some bad football that we're going to have to talk about. But because we're doing the show on a Tuesday instead of a Monday this week, we will do it a little bit different. We won't recap as much as we did of last weekend's games. We'll do a little bit of a look forward, maybe pick out a point we want to pick out. Do the big news as well, because there is big news. The Carolina Panthers now having a fire sale, it seems, after losing their head coach. I mean, where's Brian Burns going to go? Where's Christian McCaffrey going to go? Where's DJ Moore going to go? Like, some teams could pick up some absolutely vital pieces that will absolutely round out both sides of the ball for them if the Panthers really are planning to just tear this whole thing down like it appears they might be looking to. We'll talk a bit about some of the games from the weekend as well. Boys, can we start with Monday Night Football? Because I just said that the season is bubbling along nicely and that finally it's starting to kick into gear a little bit. And yet, after we saw one of the most egregious pieces of officiating on Sunday, when Tom Brady had a roughing the passer called in his favour that might have been the most textbook taking down of a quarterback to keep him safe that you can possibly make by Grady Jarrett. And then afterwards told the assembled media, I don't throw the flags. I mean, I'm not expecting him to go up and, pull a Leeds United and go and just, tell the referee it was the wrong thing or go and score a goal in the other end. But I do like a bit of culpability, a bit of a, do you know what? Maybe there should be a Sky judge. Maybe we should finally be figuring out the ways in which these things can be reviewable without dragging the game on too much more. Because over the years, there have been so many personal foul penalties that haven't been challengeable that you just go, that has completely, completely swung a game, particularly on a third down in a situation like that when the Falcons were very much the team in the ascendancy. That's just my little rant about that. But we had another one last night. We had another egregious penalty, which ended up moving the game forward. It ended up not changing the result of the game, but very well could have done. And we had a bad coaching decision. What on earth is Nathaniel Hackett doing? Going for the 2 points when there's 4 minutes left on the clock. I don't mind doing the Titans at Wembley and going for it when the time is expiring. You go, right, it's win the game, lose the game. We put it all down to this play. We don't want to go to overtime. We don't want to face Patrick Mahomes in overtime. With 4 minutes left on the clock, all you're actually doing is making the other team more aggressive. All they're going to do is go, right, we have to go and win it now. There's no way that they're going to get to a third and long or even like a fourth and short near midfield that's out field goal range and not think to themselves, well, we have to go for it. We're a point down. They're not going to kick it back and settle for overtime themselves. I just, the analytics of it made absolutely zero sense. I also said Nathaniel Hackett, didn't I? When that's obviously not who I meant. I'm very tired after the weekend.
I wish Nathaniel Hackett was the Raiders coach.
Josh McDaniels. It was Josh McDaniels.
Josh McDaniels is obviously the way actually.
It's another bizarre decision because even if it did go to overtime, they've had a longer week to get to Monday Night Football. They've also got a bye next week. So it's not like the players are going to be... They may have been gassed, but they're delving into reserves that will be there and looked after because they have had an extra day to prepare and they'll have an extra week to get over it. So it was a really, really bizarre decision. And it just shows that there are some of these younger coaches and some of the older ones that when the pressure gets to them, and it seems like pressure's getting to the refs and pressure's getting to Devontae Adams, pushing that cameraman over, bizarre behavior. It does feel that these guys in these pressure cooker situations are making weird decisions. It's something that we've been speaking about since week one.
I feel like there's so many elements that you can take from this game. First off, the fact that Travis Kelce had four touchdowns with 25 yards.
He had seven catches for 25 yards and four touchdowns. Unlucky if you were facing him in fantasy.
But that third touchdown, Will and Ollie, it almost seemed like the refs were just really, really scared to do any flag situations. Like, Max Crosby was completely destroyed on that play. And then going back into what you said about Sunday as well with Booger, I can't pronounce his surname. It seems like...
Bogus.
I mean, Bogus. It just seems like, that's happened, right? Oh, and suddenly maybe he might have like a week off next week, and then suddenly the week after he'll come back and nothing's happened. It's completely different to the whole concussion situation where we were sitting on Saturday night, or was it Saturday or Friday? I don't even know anymore. The NFLPA, obviously, we want this sorted now. We want the situation sorted now. Whereas the whole flag thing is different. Could we bring in a Premier League style VAR situation for flags? Maybe you could have a special challenge each game for that. It's just really...
They just have to get better.
It was annoying.
There's six of them. They just get better at it. But there's the New York thing. New York's ever watching, like this Sauron's eye, a specter, watching all-knowing and all-powerful. And for some reason, they choose not to get involved. Instead, they're like Saruman watching through the Palantir rather than Sauron and his all-seeing eye. So I don't know why they don't get involved. Green Bay, for instance, twice in two different games this year have had plays where the play clock has run down. 2 or 3 seconds have gone. Then the ball gets snapped. And teams end up scoring from those drives. Didn't happen this week. But those are the kind of things that they get highlighted within a season. And then you'll be able to throw a challenge flag for that next season, because that's when the NFL will get together and change the rules and amend the rules. So it just seems bizarre that we can't have that now, and we have to have another 20 games, 20 how many, yeah, maths, whatever, we've got to have the rest of the season to live with these, with a system that isn't perfect.
The thing as well, Simon's going to jump in here very, very quickly. The fourth down play at the start of the game when Derek Carr got Devontae Adams was class. And you sort of, like, do you know when you throw it up and you just know it was like that Josh Allen, Gabe Davis play on Sunday? You just knew he's away. He was like, bye-bye, and he just
Mike,
away.
But Mike, it was
really
obvious.
Really impressive in the offense.
It was obvious, though, because he was single-covered, and that wasn't the first time that that first half that he was single-covered and the chains were moved because the Derek Carr recognized this. Derek Carr's, a middling quarterback, but he's good enough to know that when his star wide receiver is single covered, just put it up there and he'll collect it for you. And that's what he did. He did that with the touchdown. Brilliant, brilliant play. But you can't single cover Devontae Adams on a fourth down or a third and long or whatever. You just can't do it.
We did see, as we said, we saw some unreal throws from quarterbacks. I think we'd consider middling quarterbacks this weekend. The Geno Smith, I think, is the second Seahawks touchdown. We threw it into double coverage, a bullet into the end zone. The DK Metcalf one, I think it was, absolutely unreal. Just like to the point where I, where were we? Because that was that in the late window? The Seahawks
I
were playing.
I think it was. I have a feeling.
This is it. Sunday is all such a blur. But I just early remember window. Being. I remember being around. It was early window because we were down in the media cafe on our way out, and I literally remember mid conversation with someone going, "Wow!" Just like in the middle of a lot of other people that were turned around and looked like it would be like it was nuts. I absolutely believe that the NFL needs to bring in Sky Judge and probably needed to bring it in about 5 years ago. And if you're not familiar with Sky Judge, it's what they did in the AAF. And in the AAF, it was almost designed as a way of testing it for the NFL. It's been suggested in the NFL at part of the new rules and policies they do at the spring owners meetings every year. It's been suggested there for the last 3 or 4 years. And essentially, it is replay review. But instead of being back at New York and a challenge flag having to be thrown or somebody having to go to a monitor, you just have a ninth official who's in the stadium who is watching the instant replay and goes, you need to call that, throw a flag now. And if there is, then it can then potentially be challenged and everything else afterwards. Now, actually, the way they did it in the AAF, they were only allowed to throw it for issues of safety. So things like, you know, if it's a late hit, a dirty hit around the head or something like that. And in the last 5 minutes of the game, so the idea being if it's going to be something which could be very game specific. But I remember seeing there was one in there was an example that was doing the rounds on Twitter like 2 or 3 years ago when the AAF was running, where a defensive back had an unnecessary late hit on a defenseless receiver. All 8 officials on the field missed the call, and it was instantly reviewed. A message was sent down, a flag was thrown. There was no long delay. There were no, you know, Budweiser commercials. There was no one staring at a Microsoft tablet. They just trusted the Sky Judge. He told them it should have been thrown. The game was resumed 15 yards downfield on an important second half series. And actually they went on and scored a touchdown there. And it just, the whole thing was so much quicker and such a higher level of accuracy as well. And yet they keep umming and ahhing over bringing it to the NFL, where clearly they have the technology to do it. I'm like, just do it. I also have always thought that those personal foul penalties should be reviewable anyway, but I'm just get on with it. Just bring it in. It's going to make the game more accurate and quicker and therefore more fun. You'll have less commercials maybe, which is not something the NFL want, but just get on with it.
I love the wee camera. I don't know. I know you used to broadcast lads. We'll talk about this in more professional terms, but what do you call the camera that goes around the stadium? The wee camera.
Spider cam.
That was class. And it was amazing to see all the Americans like rave about it on Sunday. It was like, this is amazing. We need this right now. Whereas I just thought we already had it. I mean, you've got stadiums like SoFar, we can just pull it up the middle, but it just looked so much better for that for those sort of games.
There are some stadiums that have it. Like Mike's saying, there's some that have it, but not as accurate. The SoFi just has one that goes like end to end, essentially down the middle. Minnesota have it, or maybe it's Atlanta, one of those new stadiums, because there was a Cordarrelle Patterson kick return where they followed him all the way down the field using the spider cam that went viral a few years ago, where he scored like a 102-yard touchdown return, and it was an insane video. But it was just, it's the way they were using spider cam on Sunday, where they were just like, the players were breaking out of the huddle and it was coming down around the huddle and up and behind and then positioning itself in for an all 22 view. And it was like, whoever is operating this camera today is having an absolute blast. They have just gone like, I'm going to be creative as hell with this.
They probably had a couple of sherbets beforehand and thought, got them all loose.
They've been in the 888 box with Will Gavin and everyone else. And
really having a good time.
It was a good time. It was a good time. I forgot what we were meant to be talking about on the show, because the Chiefs are great. The Raiders made mistakes. And I just wanted to say, if you've not watched Monday Night Football yet, go and watch it in as long a format as you can afford to spend time doing, because it was an unreal game of football.
You know what the spider cam reminds me of? It reminds me of, and it keeps getting said all the time, but you know that Madden view, and you know the whole behind the quarterback, and you get to see the defense. And all right, people get that at the ends when they're at the end zones or in the end zones, but you can't really appreciate it unless you're on your own sort of 1 or 2 yard line if you're right at the back behind the play. But it's that Madden view. We need more Madden views.
Well, you get the coach's view, don't you, on Game Pass, but it takes 2 days for them to process it and put it on there, and then Ollie Connolly sits and spends 4 days cutting and pasting bits of it onto Twitter to tell us all how football actually works, and we all marvel at his genius. All praise be to the con man. Mentioning Madden, have you noticed my new headphones?
No.
Let's see my swanky new.
Hold on.
Why the hell together by tape?
Did you get the fancy box?
And you've got new Madden headphones.
I got the fancy box.
Shout out to EA Sports.
You have to see this thing, right? So
what?
The fancy box, the all Madden edition of Madden 23. Now, Ollie, we've received some stupid swag before. Like, there's no way we should be given free stuff for doing what we're doing, but the box contains a T-shirt, it contains these headphones, it contains a copy of the game, right? Previously, the best thing I'd ever received, by the way, was WWE when they sent us a copy of the game into TalkSport. They sent us a money in the bank briefcase with the game in it, and then a bunch of cookies. It's still in my garage. It's amazing it's not up on the wall behind me, to be honest. But Ollie, check out how ridiculous this is. Lovely box, lovely
beautiful
accessories inside.
I like the Madden in the Raiders colors.
Watch what happens when you open the box.
Does it make a noise? There's a video in the lid of the box.
It shows the trailer to the game in the box.
Wow.
It's absolutely ridiculous.
I am going to challenge Will Gavin live.
I'll put it on social media. It'll go on at Will Gav or
right now
well.
To get the John Madden tattoo on his back, like Vernon Kay done with Eli Manning.
Yeah, it has to be a wager. You can't just tell me to do it, and I go, yeah, all
I
right
will
then.
Play you on Madden next week, and the loser has to do it.
He'll definitely beat me. With the new game, I've only played it a little bit. Firstly, it just looks great, and it has a real flow to it. What I like is that they've put all these great new systems in place, all these new like ways of hitting people, ways of passing the ball that can get super more accurate with it. So if you're like a proper nerd, which I am, but I have had more time to play video games in the past, like you can get really technical with it. What they've also done is allow you to change the passing mode to the passing mode from previous games, so that those of us dinosaurs who have been playing it since, you know, Madden 04 or whatever, can just go back to the old passing style and not have to worry about learning new systems, because we don't have 20 hours a week to be playing video games.
Have you, and you probably haven't, either of you two, have you played as the Saints this year?
No.
Okay, so it'd be really interesting to see
just to play as Taysom Hill.
Well, yeah, because 4 touchdowns, rushing touchdowns, he's listed as a tight end, but he's really just an amazing gadget player. I love Taysom Hill. 2 weeks ago, I saw...
Did anyone play him in fantasy this week? Because that would have been the most genius thing ever.
I dropped him. I picked him up in all of our fantasies.
Of course you did. Classic Hunter.
Because I love him. 2 weeks ago, Taysom Hill, number 7 jerseys. There were loads of them on the streets in and around Tottenham. He's an incredible player. Did you see what Sean Payton said about him to the Saints coach? Oh, I'll trade for him in a couple of years' time. After the game.
Big contract
game yesterday. Look, Taysom Hill, I know he had one passing touchdown, 3 rushing touchdowns. The Saints, when he's in the game, which he should be, I mean, if he's in the game more often than not, then you kind of work out what they're going to him. But they're so much fun to watch when he's there. You kind of forget that they've got Dalton or Winston, and their receiving core isn't lighting things up. And Alvin Kamara is just making his way back from a return from injury.
Making his way back.
Yeah, exactly. So it'd be interesting to see if Madden... maybe you could report back to me, Willie. If Madden have got some interesting ways...
If you
want to
wait 20 minutes, I'll go and load it up. And then I'll come back and tell you.
Share the screen.
Just pick up the camera and take it with you. If Madden has some interesting ways of getting him involved in the offense, no doubt they do. Great guy.
What I do like about the NFL this year, like you mentioned there with the Saints, obviously the Seahawks are not a great football team this year. And yet, they have been great on offense. Geno's been brilliant. They've been super, like, tight in every game that they play in. And It feels like the bad teams are still, most of it, are still bringing it. The Washington Commanders, like, I think we all saw them as one of the lower-ranked teams in the NFL this year, pushed the Tennessee Titans all the way this weekend. And if it wasn't for Carson Wentz throwing the ball around for some reason, it's from inexplicable reason with enough time left on the clock that he didn't need to, and throwing that interception, then they would have gone on to probably win that game, or at least take it, I know, 21-17 to win the game. Would have had to have been winning. The Falcons have lost all of their losses by a single score, despite the fact that I came into the season thinking that's one of the worst NFL rosters I've seen on paper in years. The Bears keeping it tight with the Vikings this weekend, that it taking that late interception slash fumble that that ended up happening. Like, those are the things that, as much
you've
as
got
we
the Lions,
about being,
you've got the Giants as well. Those two teams.
I mean, the Lions didn't do so much this weekend. What I didn't get to ask you about, though, because we glossed over the London games, and we are all over the shop with the show today. Are you concerned for the Green Bay Packers? Are you worried about?
Let the Packers fan go first.
Every game, you have had a quarter, a half where you've just looked like world beaters, and every game you've had at least a stretch of time, and this week ended up being the entire second half, where you're just not putting it together, where it's just not making sense. I don't get it.
I think the Packers think they're better than they are, and that they deserve to be winning the NFC North every single week, or every single season. They quite clearly didn't prepare in that Minnesota game properly. They lost badly on both sides of the ball. Not really on special teams, but massively on both sides of the ball. So there had to be a reaction against a terrible Bears team the next week. So they prepped properly for it. And then coming to London with the New York Giants, it felt like they hadn't prepped for anything other than the early release of the playbook that they were given. Matt LaFleur pointed out that they gave them the set plays, those 24 set plays early. There wasn't really anything beyond that. And defensively, I have no idea what Joe Barry's doing. They look out of confidence. They look slow. They don't seem to have a plan. It is worrying. It's worrying. But weirdly, then they go to Tampa Bay and beat the Bucks, and I thought they would beat the Bucks. It's a weird, weird season with the Green Bay Packers. And then we've got the Jets coming, and what they'll probably do is scheme properly.
The Jets, by the way, talking about bad teams who have been spicy, back-to-back wins for the Jets.
So exactly. So the Jets will come to Lambeau. They'll plan properly and they'll win the game and it'll cover over a crack and then it'll all fall apart again in a couple of weeks. That's how I'm feeling about the Packers at the moment.
I think it's really interesting because there's so many elements here. First off, go back to that Patriots game and just the way the game went on both sides of the ball, the atmosphere around Lambeau Field, the atmosphere whenever LaFleur came in on Friday, he was very awake and excited for the pressers, that we were at. And the atmosphere in the post-game press conference, there was two questions. One of them was asked about, you know, the offense, when's it going to click? And the other one, Aaron Rodgers was asked, was about OBJ. For me, if you've got Dylan and Jones there, and you can hand the ball off to him, but then you've got, what, Tonyan, Randall Cobb, Lazard, Dubs, I'm forgetting somebody else.
Christian Watson.
Who's a beast, by the way. We all seen these guys on Friday. I just don't think Aaron Rodgers, after the offseason he has, lads, and Ollie, I'm not being down in the Packers at all. I hope they get it together. I'm sure they will. I just don't think offensively he has that many excuses. Like, there was a couple of situations on Sunday where I could not believe, and obviously Wink deserves credit, that defense for the Giants deserves credit, but they should have pulled away either before the half or early third quarter, and they didn't.
At 20-10, I genuinely was worried they were going to come out in the second half, score on their first drive, and it would turn into a blowout. Yeah. They didn't score another point on offense for the rest of the game. The safety was the only other score they had, which, by the way, how more people didn't see that coming, I do not understand. Literally, the moment that it was obvious, got the ball back, I was like, they're going to run four downs here, and they're going to go for a safety so that they pin him back deep and have to throw a deep, deep Hail Mary. I want to see a free kick, by the way, at some point, but we'll get into that separately. It's my biggest thing in the NFL. Somebody someday call a fair catch free kick, please. Because on the other side of it, the Giants are not talent rich. Lost Leonard Williams just before the game. And this is a Giants side who, prior to this game, were giving up the most yards per carry on the ground between the tackles. I was expecting a huge AJ Dillon game. They were giving up 5.7 yards per carry on the ground for runs up the gut. And they lost their best defensive lineman. Like, I really thought that this is going to get absolutely brutal. Between Wink Martindale, between the choices of when to blitz, between the scheming, Brian Daboll, who looked fired up at the end, it just showed. And this, the NFC East in general, like, we're going to look do a little bit of a look forward to week six at the end of the show once we finally got around to talking to Matt Rhule. The NFC East, by the way, has become the best division in football this season. And we all thought it was going to be the NFC West. Right now, it is the NFC East. And it's the NFC East because, other than Washington, the other three teams have figured out their coaching situations. Even the Cowboys, all right, Mike McCarthy, I don't rate, but they're off offensively. That Kellen Moore, everyone told me was very special, has suddenly turned up this year. I'm loving it. Honestly, you've turned Cooper Rush into an absolute superstar. He's what, gone 4-0. And the Giants, 4-1, look like a legit 4-1. They didn't look like a legit 3-1 coming in, but that is the win, which makes them legit. I thought they were great.
Well, they've got the best defensive player that's not injured in the league at the moment, in Micah Parsons, who I think he's got is it 21 sacks quicker or 20 sacks quicker than any other player in NFL history? It's something like that. So, and the rest of the defense is following his lead. Their defense is ridiculous. It's so, so good. You've got to worry a little bit for the Eagles this weekend because they lost Jordan Mailata. He wasn't playing at the beginning of he didn't suit up at the weekend. I think they lost another offensive lineman, another two maybe during the game. So I don't know how they're going to block Micah Parsons et al. So that defense is working really well. And when you've got, as you know, Willie, with San Francisco, when you've got a really good defense, your offense just has to be just a little bit above average and you'll win games. You'll win games easily. And that's what you're just above average offense in Jimmy Garoppolo and the 49ers are doing. And conversely, if you have a just above average offense in the Packers, but your defense isn't doing anything, that's when you don't win games. So it's all about that defensive foundation. And that's what the Cowboys have got. Eagles got it in spades. Eagles defense is great. And all right, it was a bit closer this weekend, but that offense, ridiculous. And Jalen Hurts, all right, he still makes it the odd mistake here or there, but he looks like a real, real prospect. Almost a Josh Allen type leap from one year to the next. Well, it's not quite, is it? Because Josh Allen.
I know. I tell you, I think it might be comparable to that.
Yeah.
Genuinely. So, do you know what amazes me about Jalen Hurts more than anything else? And we've got that this game on Sunday night football game, of course, live on TalkSport 2, is going to be absolutely unreal because the Cowboys are figuring it out, but think back to the playoffs last year when the Eagles faced off with the Bucks, and all that Bucks team did was just blitz the hell out of Jalen Hurts, just absolutely killed him down after down after down, and he couldn't figure it out, and he couldn't read the opposition defense, and he just couldn't get it together. Turn it to this year, and there hasn't been a defense that's been able to figure him out yet. And when he's been under pressure, he's been one of the best quarterbacks in the NFL under pressure. There is something that has switched in his mind. Something in that 6 to 8 months between that loss and the start of this season where he's gone, I'm going to figure this out. I'm going to figure out how to behave under pressure. I'm going to figure out when to tuck and run, when to play the RPO, when to toss it, when to throw it, when to run with it. And he has just been so much better in those situations, combined with just a bit better accuracy, with better weapons around him, with an offensive line which has been very good and actually was good again this weekend despite missing Jordan Mailata. I think Jalen Hurts has really figured it out. And that Sunday night game is sensational. It's not even the best game this week. He's got Bills Chiefs as well. Ridiculous.
Oh yeah. Did you see Brian Baldinger? I know we're going to jump onto Matt Rhule in just a minute, but did you see Brian Baldinger, Baldy, everyone's favorite everyone's favorite Zoom participant on Sky. He broke down the Eagles this year and the way that they're scoring their rushing touchdowns. And it's the way that Americans call it, a rugby scrum. But actually, it's a maul where you have, and they had a three back situation in a really long eye formation. And the first guy then gets pushed by the two other guys behind him over the gain line to get first down or the goal line. And it just shows that maybe it's Mailata's influence. I know he's rugby league rather than rugby union, but it shows that NFL teams are looking at other ways to score points. And I loved it. I love seeing that kind of thing, that just the ingenuity of, right, this is a way, thing that something that we could take from another sport. There's a little loophole here. Let's use it. Really, really, really clever.
Right. Are we doing it? Are we getting on to the Panthers?
I'll just very quickly say, well, just two seconds. Come Daniel on. Jones Back. On Sunday.
Oh, yeah.
I actually wish he had another year, Ollie, on his contract, because he's like, his performance on Sunday was epic. The Cowboys going into LA was so enjoyable to watch, both sides of the ball. So many things we could talk about the Rams there. And then finally, the Eagles are so fun to watch. I cannot wait for this game at the weekend, because I feel like it could be an offensive shootout where then both defenses go at it. I just hope it's not a really, really, really low scoring game because of that. But it's a sign of a very, very advanced and good team that they can go into Arizona and drag out the win. Was it 20-17? It was driving home, listening, not watching on Red Zone, lads, very quickly on that one. Jalen Hurts is so impressive. And I agree, I do think there's a jump, very comparable jump with Josh Allen there. And it's only week six now.
It's different skills that he's improved in, but the rate of improvement is comparable for me.
So we talk about the NFL, but have you ever experienced the NFL in its natural state, live and in person? In America, surrounded by tens of thousands of screaming partisan fans, after spending hours beforehand in the car park outside the stadium enjoying a cold beer, maybe one or two, as the smell of barbecue and tailgate food wafts deliciously through the air. If not, or if you have and you fancy doing it again, well, Touchdown Trips folks are the experts in creating amazing travel packages for your favorite NFL team. And when we say amazing, we mean it. The guys and the girls at Touchdown Trips put fans first and are passionate. The fans who book with them get a proper, unforgettable, and more importantly, a unique NFL experience. You don't just get tickets, but an authentic pre-game tailgate with local fans. College fan? You want to go to a college game? Stadium tour? Why not? As well as all that, they include flights from across the UK. They've got fantastic hotels and anything else you may want to add, such as an NBA game or an NHL game or a local excursion, to create truly bespoke packages that are, more importantly, at all protected and APTA bonded. So if you're thinking of going to a game this season or next and just want to get in touch, give the team at Touchdown Trips a shout today at touchdowntrips.com. Check them out on Facebook, facebook.com/touchdowntrips, or Twitter at Touchdown Trips. Touchdown Trips, you have to see it to believe it.
Matt Rule, less than three seasons into a seven-year, $62 million contract, has been sacked by the Carolina Panthers. Carolina Panthers. I'm going to do that again. I'm just going to do it again because it was so bad. 6 years into a 60...
Not like we're live or anything.
I'm all over the shop. Yeah, but it's fine because then the Magic Man goes in and edits it for the replay and for the clips he puts online. Or he just posts this and makes me look stupid. Both work for me. The Carolina Panthers have fired Matt Rule. Less than three years into a seven-year, $62 million contract. They still owe him $40 million. He's taking home over $800,000 a month for the next 4 years from them. He's gone. He's out of the door. Steve Wilkes is taking over, the defensive pass game coordinator, of course, coached the Arizona Cardinals back in 2018. He's been named as the interim coach. And it comes just 5 months after Dave Tepper turned around and said, it's going to take 5 to 6 years to build a truly sustainable
team that can compete at the top end.
Five games into the season, and yes, 1-4 this year, and yes, 11-27 overall, and yes, Baker Mayfield, who many people thought was the best quarterback that he had managed to coach there, all of those things haven't worked. Was the win this weekend that bad and that embarrassing? Were they so poor against the San Francisco 49ers that he deserved to lose his job specifically off the back of that? And if not, surely he must have already had this in mind, and maybe getting rid of him in the offseason was the way to go. It just seems a complete halfway house and just basically wastes this entire year for me.
It's just bizarre, lads. Sorry for jumping in. I just don't get why you do it now and not 6 weeks ago or 6 months ago or give it a few more weeks. What's the benefit after that Niners game to then wait? It just doesn't make sense. The fact that he signed a deal, and we can sit here and talk about David Tepper having all the money in the world, that's fine, but you're still giving somebody $60 million and the only incentive is to get to 70. If that was me, not that I would do this, if that was him, I'm like, well, $60 million, happy days, grand. Where's the pressure for him? There's no pressure for him there at all. He turns down multiple college jobs thinking, oh, well, I'm on decent money here. It doesn't really matter what happens to me here because if I get fired, I get paid. It's a Chelsea-like situation with the contract payoff to an extent. He could sit now and watch Red Zone the rest of the season and get paid an absolute brickload of money. There's so many things there, lads. And with Baker Mayfield now out for a couple of weeks, why now? Why not wait to week 7, week 8, at least see? Because I just don't see the value in getting rid of him now short term. Just keep him there.
What are you getting out of this season? Unless they are literally going to fire sale right now, like people have been joking about on Twitter. Like, there is some great young talent there. Like Brian Burns, the edge rusher, absolutely brilliant. JC Horn, Derek Brown, all of them could get anything, second, third round picks for them if you really want to be loading up. McCaffrey, I mean, there's talk about the Bills have inquired about Christian McCaffrey after he's gone. That is a terrifying thought. If you put Christian McCaffrey in that Bills offense, gave them the opportunity to adapt to what he does. If he stays healthy, I can't even imagine what that offense ends up looking like. Well, it's very sexy, to say the least. Like, unless they are really going to tear it down and they thought we need to do that now, so teams are still willing to pay for those players before we get closer to the trade deadline, before we get closer to the point in the season where more teams are irrelevant, I just don't see the value. The locker room as well seems to be behind him. You hear all of the comments from the players on Sunday, and maybe they were just being good teammates. But Dante Jackson said that they're 100% behind him. Christian McCaffrey took all the blame on his own shoulders and refused to put anything of it on the coaching. And at a time when we've seen more players being honest, I don't think he is the solution there, but I don't see why now is the moment to do it.
I think now's the perfect time. They looked absolutely dreadful this season. Dreadful. He's got to be part of that, the decision-making process to bring in the likes of Sam Darnold and Baker Mayfield. So if you can't get out of... If you're seeing your head coach not get anything out of people that he's wanting to bring in, and you're worth $11.4 billion, what's $40 million? It's a drop in the ocean. Start again. Let's just go again. Perhaps they've got someone lined up, tepped up. Huh? So perhaps they've got someone tepped up to come in. Look, David Tepper said this: it's winning. Winning is more this year than you did last year. Looking like you're going to win more than you did last year. By that definition, I don't think we're over the hump. They didn't look like they're going to win any games. They've made Christian McCaffrey not look good. They don't give their best player the ball enough. I think they saw that this was as far as Matt Rhule was going to take them. What are they going to do? Lose another four in a row? What's the point? They're not going to win any games because they haven't shown like they're going to win any games so far this season. I think actually it's a really good decision. Just get rid. Lop it off. Get rid of it.
Hashtag lop it off. If I'm Raheem Morris, Dan Quinn, or Callum Moore, why in the hell would I go to Carolina? Like, I get...
Because you might get a 7-year, $62 million contract. That's why.
But, like, I mean, like, if... For, like, oh, okay, maybe Dan Quinn to an extent. But if I... Like, Callum Moore is really up and coming and needs to... I personally feel that Jerry will give him the keys to paradise at some point. Why would... Like, I just... sometimes
if he doesn't give Sean Payton the job.
And it's definitely going Sean Payton, isn't it?
I actually think Kellen Moore's an interesting one. If they do go and get some big, I don't think they should get rid of that young talent. But let's say the Panthers are picking in the top five this year, which it very much looks like they're going to. What, there are three quarterbacks we think go in the top five, four in the top 10. Like, if they get a good young quarterback, there's some other good young talent there. They've got a good receiver, they've got a good running back, they're on long contracts. The line could do with some help, but like, I actually think it might be quite an attractive job. The only thing being that, what, when was the last time an organization fired somebody just five games into a new season? Maybe that's the thing that scares you. But otherwise, like, it's a bit of a blank slate for you with enough nuggets of talent to make you go, yeah, all right, I'll give this a go.
Yeah, I'll come in.
What I always think with these things as well, and I think we forget this, when we look at what a situation is like, the one thing we always, I think, forget, and Matt Rhule is himself definitely guilty of this, is head coaches, more than anyone else, believe their own hype. They believe that they are like, oh, yeah, he couldn't do it. Of course he couldn't do it. I can do it. I'm a good enough schemer. I'm a good enough man motivator. Oh, they couldn't get enough out of Jameis Winston, the former number one overall pick. Well, I watched his college play. There's clearly a good player there. I'll turn him into a starting quarterback. Oh, he's throwing five picks again. Oh, good. Like, it's just people talk themselves into being the solution because they think they're good enough. And so I think someone like Kellen Moore very much could talk himself into that job. Dan Quinn's a potential really good shout. How they managed to keep a hold of him, I don't know.
My question is, lads, who's next? Ron Rivera this weekend? Somebody has to be next by week 7, week 8. And the hot seats are getting hotter.
Are we going to turn into like soccer, where they're just going to start absolutely shooting them down left, right and centre?
Well, do you see the thing with Ron Rivera yesterday when he was asked what the biggest problem was between the jump between his team and the rest of the NFC, and he went immediately quarterback, like all serious. Like, that was interesting. Like, you know, like fire him under the bus immediately. I don't know. I would be.
What about Ron Rivera back in Carolina?
Ooh.
Well, just till the end of the year.
They say never go
give
back.
Give it Ron to the end of the season.
Yeah.
The thing is, I think some of the people who could be on the hot seat, like we talked a lot about like Frank Reich this season, but they're actually, you know, 2-2-1 right now, and they've been bad in Maggie. So a lot of the people we've talked about have either been people we've had long-term issues with, the Cliff Kingsbury's and Zach Taylors of this world, or they've been first-year guys, Nathaniel Hackett, Josh McDaniels. Like, I think we could see a couple of one-and-done coaches this year. Hey, Ron Rivera is the only one I could see them getting rid of mid-season. But then I'd said it, Washington, we're in that game this week. Very much could have won it.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, I don't know. I don't think there's anyone else that I expect to go
there's
sooner.
There's no one really
later.
Jumps off the page for me. Yeah.
Plus, Washington faced the Bears on Thursday, so, you know.
A game that literally no one's watching.
I might watch. I would go as far as saying the Broncos with Nathaniel Hackett is intriguing because you've got the Chargers Monday night away. You've got the Jets at home. And then you're going to London to play to face the Jaguars. The last time the Broncos went to London, obviously Josh McDaniels, etc., etc.
Are we going to see another head coach fired before they get on the plane? I love that. It's my favourite. It's my favourite London trope.
I can't wait to go to the presser with you. So, Nathaniel, do you think you'll make it past the flight on Sunday?
Let's fly.
There's a t-shirt idea.
Yeah,
I love it.
Was it Dennis Allen who got fired before he even
it was
left?
Yeah, it did. Someone definitely did, didn't they?
Dennis Allen in 2014, I just double checked.
You're right, Michael, those should be winnable games for the Broncos. Chargers one's tricky, but the Chargers will always charge. But the others, you know, before the season started, you're probably thinking with our new quarterback and some nice wide receiving talent and a defensive identity that you've managed to retain throughout the years, you're thinking, right, maybe we've got a bit of a shot at this. And what you do have is a head coach who looks like he doesn't know what he's particularly doing, a quarterback who's regressed massively, winnable games that you're losing. So yeah, you never know.
It's pretty depressing as a fan, I'm not going to lie. Like, but yeah, I genuinely feel that the situation that they're in, the fact that there was a new ownership situation there, they've brought in the GM to look over now, who's had experience over in the UK as well. I feel that they'll get to week 9, week 10, and if they lose, hypothetically, those next 3 games, I think he's out. I think it's not even controversial to say that. I just can't see how you've put the farm on Wilson. I think they'll make a move, especially when Vegas have lost again in the West, because there's still a window there for them, but time will tell. But if he gets to week 10, it's over, and yeah. I'll stop being so depressing. But yes, good point.
Do we have anything, like, I saw that you put some listeners' questions down this week. Do we want to rattle through those? Not rattle through, let's give them the time and due respect that they deserve as our good listeners. But should we go through them and then wrap this up, this rambling shambles of a podcast? I want to call this episode, Who Are They? Because it's a lot of us going, I don't understand what's happening. Why are they doing this?
If you click on the comments, lads, Paul Hope has been getting involved.
No, I've been on private chat. I'm so sorry, Paul. I love this.
So great work, Paul. Thanks for joining us.
Also, Paul, you're absolutely bang on about the 49ers defense. Unreal this year.
What did you see? No one else can see these comments if they're listening to the podcast.
He said the defense allowing just 64 yards on 17 carries. What else can CMC do? He's really been getting involved, hasn't he? I'm so sorry, Paul. You put some great messages in here, just reading through them now. You've got Hackett on the hot seat. Huge shout, lads. I'm having it. Maybe not like now. Like, I'm not expecting him to get fired mid-season, but I think he's been an absolute shambles. The thing is, you can't get rid of the $235 million quarterback you just traded 3 first round picks for. So someone's going to get the blame, and the finger is going to get pointed not at that weirdo, but at Nathaniel Hackett. I'm sorry. Did you see where somebody has set the Subway commercial? Like, you know, the Subway. Oh, that is spicy. That Subway commercial, and they've set it to the Joker scene from The Dark Knight, where he's doing the scene at the party while he's telling the story about his dad, and they put like the strings under it. What's the composer called? Come on, Ollie, help me out here.
Do you mean the adagio strings thing?
No, the music from The Dark Knight, that kind of really building touch, like
Hans Zimmer
is who it is. Yeah.
And they've set it sandwich.
And they've set it to that. And they're like, he sounds like a psychopath. And he absolutely sounds like a complete and utter. Like he's going to like he's got you tied up in his basement and he's giving you a monologue about a sandwich, but actually it's really about murder. Like, that is what it sounds like. And it's unreal. I'm going to post it on my Twitter now and then everyone can go find it.
Listen, I think Russell, that's a very good question, though. Would you rather be in a basement tied up with Russell Wilson talking to you like that, or watch the Commanders against the Bears on Thursday night? I mean, it's...
I would watch the Commanders versus the Bears on Thursday night. I don't want to be anywhere near Russell Wilson.
Am I guaranteed to survive the Russell Wilson situation?
It's
and can I talk about it again afterwards?
Yeah. It's spicy, though. And big thanks to Paul. I know people will see him on the Niners, Tales from the Bay meetup on Sunday in Leeds. I know you'll be there, William. Dan, who's a massive supporter of Gridiron, he met both me and Ollie, I think, over the last couple of weeks doing some content outside the stadium, said, which game did you prefer and why? I think I know what Ollie Hunter's answer is going to be, so I'll go first and say I loved Sunday.
Which London game?
Which London game? Yeah. I thought Sunday was like the closest London can get to a game in the States. The atmosphere outside, Ollie, as we've seen, was nuts. Well, I know you were there as well, and it was amazing. But I think the first game was really good as well.
I still think the atmosphere at some of the London games is better than a lot of games I've been to in America as well. Like, what you're saying is good. It's as close to a great game in America. Like, when you go to a real, like, top-tier game with a really good crowd at a really good stadium. I've been to some absolute clangers in some you know, average stadiums and seen some pretty bad football where the crowd haven't been into it at all and have given up midway through the third quarter and are just down. Do you remember we had Falcons Cowboys on? Was it Sunday Night Football or it was in the 9:25 window? And the Falcons are absolutely in a game. They blew out the Cowboys. I think it was that game. Was it Grady Jarrett? Somebody had
Grady Jarrett. It was Grady Jarrett. He had six sacks.
The problem is the Falcons have been absolutely the creators of their own downfall, because they've done this amazing thing in their stadium where the concessions aren't all stadium concessions, but they're actually all hired out to local businesses. So you can go and get a sandwich from your favorite sandwich shop in Atlanta, and they've got a concession stand inside the arena. The only agreement, a part of that, is you have to keep your prices the same in the stadium as they are in your shop. And the beer is all like $5 a beer. And the soft drinks are all like $2 a drink. But what that means is when a game is an absolute blowout, no one's watching it because everyone's gone down to the concourse to watch Red Zone and get drunk. Like, honestly, we were looking around midway through the third quarter and being like, where is everybody? And you go down to the concourses and it's like you're in a nightclub. Like, it's an absolute party going on. So I'm just saying it was better than a lot of American games.
Well,
it is the second game for me because of the prestige and atmosphere. But I don't want to disrespect the first game because I thought it was brilliant.
First game's finale was ridiculous, and we were really lucky to have that. The first half wasn't great. I think it was really affected by the Lewis scene injury, and that it took a while for both teams to sort of get back into it. Maybe even the crowd as well. I don't know whether you noticed, but they did a game where they superimposed someone's beard on whoever's like scanned the thing, and they started this game whilst Lewis Seen was on the floor injured, and all of the players and all the 22 on the field, and then the entire Minnesota Vikings team then takes a knee. They're playing this game, and quickly that was shut down. Thankfully, those little things like that that perhaps they need to learn. But the second game was so good. Like, just the atmosphere outside. And I mentioned that it reminded me of Seattle. And also outside, it reminded me of Seattle as well. People on the street, people in boozers, because there isn't necessarily a tailgate in Seattle that I remember. So it really felt like we were in the Pacific Northwest watching a game. It was brilliant. It was brilliant. And the atmosphere was ridiculous. It just didn't work out the way I wanted it to, but I thought it was an incredible advert for football and what it should be like and what it could be like for the next 32 games in the coming years.
When I say shambles, is I want that to be really clear that I mean that with nothing but love. Like, a shambles is a good thing to me when it's good. I just mean that it lacked focus. But it's been fun. I've had a lot of fun on the show today. I know we've got more listener questions, but I actually need to leave now. So if you want to carry on doing the listener questions amongst yourselves, you're welcome to. Otherwise, I can shout that I'm out and go. Up to you. Let me know. S in the chat. What am I doing? I'm leaving. You guys could do the outro.
Sounds good.
Miss you already.
No, thanks, man. Appreciate your time.
You both. Bye.
You too. So we've got two questions, Mr. Hunter, before we bounce. The first one is from Owen. Thanks very much, Owen, for getting the question.
Owen as in Owen Morgan or Michael Owen? That Owen is Morgan, which way is it spelled?
Unfortunately, we haven't got Owen Morgan or Michael Owen watching the show, but I think it's Owen McGrath who's sending a question saying...
Yeah, but which way is it spelled, Michael? That's all I want to know.
E-O-I-N.
Oh, Owen as in... That's what I mean. Is it Owen as in Owen Morgan or Owen... English Owen or Irish Owen? That's all I want to know. I don't know why it makes any difference, but that's not the point.
It's all good. It's a bit like Ollie when you got like 17 different spellings and stuff, and Mike, yeah, Mick, etc.
That's exactly. They're all slightly pronounced differently, though. So, get Ollie Connolly to talk you through that.
Con man. Owen asks, does Matt Rhule getting fired increase the chances of Christian McCaffrey getting traded? And this goes into a conversation that we had last night in the Gridiron WhatsApp group. Mr. Gavin, who's just left us, put in a comment saying about, you know, this could be happening, but the Bills were apparently in talks. Do you know what, Ollie? I'm going to go full ham here. I'm going to say I think it does. And I genuinely feel that if he is traded to a team like the Bills, I'm intrigued to see what the hypothetical situation would be in terms of what they would need to get him.
How much would it cost? Yeah, two first rounders?
Minimum.
And a third?
But it's like, you know, the Bills don't have a run game to that extent, and we know it's like, it's obvious, it sticks out to teams. They're going to say, well, we want like three first rounders, two second rounders, yada, yada, yada. Does the Bills, I guess, in the Super Bowl window want to do that there? What's your thoughts, man? Because it's a really intriguing proposition, and I'll say this now, we need to buy the Super Bowl tickets right now. If that happens, because there's no way we're getting in the media or anything if the Bills get to the Super Bowl with McCaffrey.
I think they need to keep him if they want to get a serious head coach. But then, on the flip side, I've just talked myself out of it. If you're saying to a new head coach that you're going to be part of the decision-making process to spend these first-round draft picks and however many other draft picks you're going to get from him, then that's also intriguing. That's enticing for a new head coach to come in. So yeah, it's a tricky one. I really don't know. I'm 50. It's a real cop out. I apologize, Owen, with E-O-I-N. I apologize, but I think it's a 50-50 whether he stays or not.
Get your questions in throughout the week. You can DM me on Twitter at @Michael_NFL. The Gridiron DM should be open at Gridiron. Send us a question and I'll take note of them for this, because I think it's been good fun doing this on a Tuesday and sort of getting the full weekend scope and getting to hear some people's thoughts and sort of the community atmosphere as well. Big game Thursday night, Ollie, very, very quickly. Have you any thoughts ahead of this game? Because for me, I feel that this could be the game, if there's ever going to be a game, that the Bears fans have an opportunity to see Justin Fields maybe get the ball down the field. This is not a game for the soft core NFL fan. Is
the
it
soft core
night?
NFL fans.
Ooh, it could be a disaster, but the funny thing is, it could be great. I mean, it couldn't be much worse than last Thursday night's game, could it?
I don't think anything is worse than last Thursday night's game. Often when you get two teams which are unfancied, I know the Broncos and the Colts were unfancied, but they have pieces that would make them slightly more interesting, like two formerly very good quarterbacks. Whereas these two teams don't have that, and that can be a bit of a leveler, can't it? The Washington defense hasn't stepped up. Chase Young et al. We expected way more from them this season, and the Bears are hugely talent poor. So we could be in for, you know, like a far more interesting game than me going, oh, no one's going to watch, it's going to be rubbish, blah 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 blah. You know, I'm a naysayer and all of that. I think we could see a really good game, and you never know. Justin Fields did seem like he took a little baby step in the right direction if you're looking at quarterback play. And Carson Wentz. He makes these silly decisions and throwing the ball when he shouldn't and into places where he shouldn't. But there are some throws that he's made this year that have been really, really good against a poor Bears defense. That, you know, anything can happen. They've got some nice weapons: Jahan Dotson and Terry McLaurin and Gibson. And you've got your man Robinson who's come back. He took the field after being shot about 2 months ago. Shot in the leg. Ridiculous. I think I've talked myself into watching it now. It's going to be a great game.
I know I'll be talking to you on Thursday night watching that game. Yeah. We could get the Carson Wentz that we've seen against Detroit, which was like a 5-year-old playing Madden, or we could get a guy throwing the ball down the field. Same with Justin Fields. Let's see what happens. That's the Thursday night game. But Ollie, appreciate your time, man, and for everyone listening to this podcast, it's great to hang out with you at the games over the last 2 weeks. Appreciate everyone's support. You can get us at Gridiron on Twitter, at UK Gridiron on Instagram, search Gridiron on TikTok as well, and you can also get us the comments throughout the week on YouTube. Just search Gridiron or Gridiron UK or Gridiron NFL Show. But for now, Ollie, thanks a million, sir, and I will see you next week. See you then.
Ryan Seacrest here. When you have a busy schedule, it's important to maximize your downtime. One of the best ways to do that is by going to ChumbaCasino.com. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino games like spin slots, bingo, and solitaire that you can play for free for a chance to redeem some serious prizes. So hop on to ChumbaCasino.com now and live the Chumba life. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Breaking news, and this one is almost unbelievable.
Yeah, it's all about new customers at Bet365, because they get $150 in bonus bets when they bet $5, win or lose. And even better, bonus bets can be used on the spread, totals, and player props.
There you have it. Bet $5 to get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. And see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. T&Cs apply. Available in app only.